Forge the Narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul Murphy, your host. This is episode 219. We are the Battle of Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined tonight by Justin Troop and Ricky Addington.
What up?
Where are the Primaris drop pods?
And Chris Morgan.
The new angle on angels.
We are going to talk a little bit about army list this week. But, you know, I mentioned that brush that I got for edge highlighting that was at Princeton 3050R or something like that. Was painting with it. I really like it. It is my new go-to for edge highlighting. But I think it, like we were talking about, it might be that placebo effect of where I just think it works better.
And no, so it does work better.
If you think it works better, it does work better. So it's good. Placebo effect is a real thing. It's now recognized by science.
That debate aside, I do feel like I'm able to get a little more control over the brush, and so I've been doing these highlights on my intercessors. That's what they're called, right?
The pictures that you were posting on Twitter, so people that don't know, they can follow Paul on Twitter. Your line work when you were doing your edge highlights and stuff like that, I noticed they were a lot more crisp and more clean in that aspect. So that brush is working for you, I would say.
But just like, it's not, you know, we can call it a good brush, but it still has, you still got to do the same things. Like when I was doing a lot of it, trying to burn through a lot of Marines at one time, I realized they get that little dried thing of paint on the end. I don't know, that little feeler nub or whatever, a paint.
It's the worst.
Can't let it happen. No matter how good it's working, you still got to keep on the fundamentals.
You know what helps that not happen, Paul? A good wet palette. Yeah. I'm gonna make you a believer one day.
It doesn't help that my fiery orange or whatever. What is that? Like two editions ago, two rebrandings ago of orange.
Do you have to like put water in it and shake it up? It doesn't even shake.
It's just all on the. I don't know. It's like where it was. It might have been stored 2 years ago, lean upside down, so all the paint is kind of in the top of it. So I've got to get a large brush, take it out, put it on a palette, thin it down, then.
It's turned into a weathering pigment. It's just the powder. Just rub it on.
That's pretty close. It's pretty close. But I like
the color. Pains me to hear this.
Yeah. The color's like the perfect red highlight. I'm sticking with it. Sticking with it till it runs out. That's it. So yeah, work smarter, not harder. Probably get better paints or newer paints.
Just buy like a $30 paintbrush and 30-year-old paint on it.
It's not a $7 paintbrush.
You're getting a brick of Troll Slayer orange for Christmas. That's all I'm saying.
But I'm happy with the way they turned out. I'm going to play a test game this week with this new list that I put together, utilizing that funnels command points into the Blood Angel list, because you could burn 10, 11 command points easy with Blood Angels if you get everything lined up right in the first turn.
Yeah.
And I just want the opportunity to do that. So I figure you got to have them to spend them.
Yeah, I played in the first day of the Rudder GT this weekend, and I was testing out the new Blood Angels on the day of release at the event. I'm very grateful that they decided to open that up. But you're absolutely right about the command points, Paul. We are so thirsty for those. I was out of command points usually by the middle or end of turn two, battle round two. It was crazy, but they work.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay, though. I don't think that you should necessarily hoard your command points. You should spend them at the right time to win more games. That's it. I mean, there is some thought of saving one for a reroll later on in the game or whatever. But if you're in a position to really maximize a situation or break the back of your opponent, burn every one that you have.
I think that's the secret with the stratagems and how you're supposed to use them is there's certain stratagems that they're definitely alpha strike stratagems. And if you don't use them now, their value decreases every game turn that you don't use them. So, you know, you would have to like really look at them. I can't like kill shot's one of them, in my opinion, that you use right away because its power is more upfront. Then you know, wasting it later, and
yeah,
and
you don't want them to casually take out one of your predators or lock one in combat or something. So
exactly,
you yeah, diminish it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if we're talking kill shot, yeah, kill shot though, troop. I mean, I'm going to have 5 command points reserved for kill shot. That's not even
for
an
every
option.
Turn of the game.
when you see 3 predators take a warhound off the table after seizing the initiative on turn 1, you're a believer in kill shot. I promise you. Five command points set into the side. Anything else is gravy.
No, those are Kronos' command points. We shall not roll those. We shall not.
Those are that's like in the Goonies. No, that's Willy's. That's right? Anything else you take, leave that for One-Eyed Willy. Those are Kronos' command points. Anything else you can take.
No, obviously we're talking about Marines, and we're going to be talking about like Blood Angels and Dark Angels for like army list construction on this show. But that philosophy of command points, I think, is going to go for any army. Like, just use them when they're going to make the most difference, and don't be afraid to do it, because a well-timed burst, a flurry of command points could win you the game, turn one, turn two.
Yeah, I mean, and especially with some of the stuff we see in the Blood Angels book specifically, just the ability to come in and get there and then do a lot of work when you get there. When all that goes off at turn one, who cares about, you know, what happens on turn five, because you've probably already won the game by then. So
I don't know if I'd go that far, Ricky, just because the way I feel about it, with the way that you have to build your armies as a Blood Angel player, is you have to hit that hammer blow early on, because after that point, you're not going to be able to keep up with, you know, the armies that have the strong fire base or long range shooting or anything like that, that can get away from you. Like, you have to deliver that hammer blow, and your ability to redeploy later is going to be hampered by how many command points you don't have in the later parts of the game.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that.
We may be talking about like taking models off the table, but what we're also talking about is disruption of the opponent's plans. And maybe that is not just the hammer blow of winning, but you are making it easier for you to win as the game progresses.
For sure. You want to still think of the future when you're burning those command points as a Blood Angel player. But it is very nice to know that you'll have at least one very strong connection. And the movement game in keeping those characters and units that need their support within proximity to benefit from those buffs, like, you have to be super smart about how you set that up. That was one of the biggest lessons I learned this weekend.
Yeah, I believe in kind of going the other direction with the list, though, is making list choices that don't rely on those character buffs. But if they happen to be there when in the right spot at the right time, then so much the better. But you can find yourself in a trap of just really needing on those characters when you're making a BA list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true, especially for the named characters. I find that that's especially true. The list that I had this last weekend was just one named character. It was Mephiston, because Mephiston, he's amazing. So the other characters that I'm trying to support these units with are things like the librarians, the jump pack librarian, the ancient with the banner, things like that. Things that can buff the units without necessarily making everything so critical on them.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. So kind of nice to have, but not something that, you know, the army is completely relying on. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Because I had one unit of 9 Death Company, one with a Power Fist, and these guys were basically just my counter assault and my chaff clearers. And there wasn't a chaplain around to support them. It was just a squad of 9 Death Company guys. And I've gone back and forth on whether that was a good idea or not, or whether something like Vanguard Veterans could have done that job just as well. But I find that, you know, that extra attack on the charge, just by virtue of it being there, makes a difference when you're wounding so much better than you did in Index Blood Angels.
Yeah, with better access to extra attacks and that kind of stuff too, just for the sake of stratagems. I believe that having the option to Forlorn Fury, that's the one that lets you move before the game starts. And when Chapter Approved gets fully implemented everywhere, with essentially telling you that you cannot use command points to reroll the pregame stuff, so you can more guarantee, or you know for a fact, when you're going first. I should say for a fact, it's, you have a better idea when you're going first or second, being able to put yourself out there and move. Anyway, having the option, the Death Company, I can't get away from wanting to take them in a list.
I think that they're very good. And the thing with the Death Company is, and I feel like they have their role. I'm not sure that their role is the heavy damage dealer to your big units, your big tanks, your Primarchs and things like that. They can be if you load them out with a bunch of like Thunder Hammers and things like that. But my experience,
I think they can do it with normal attacks, just a volume of attacks. That's how Berserkers do it, volume of attacks.
And it sounds nice, but Berserkers can swing more times than the Death Company can for fewer command points. And the Sanguinary Guard seem to do it so much better against the big targets like Primarchs and big tanks and multi-wound models. And they're much more durable and survivable. That was my experience this weekend, is that the hammer blow may be the Death Company, but the Sanguinary Guard are going to be that sword strike into the heart that just rips out that unit in the enemy's list that needs to die. And I found the Sanguinary Guard to be much improved over their index variant.
I like, well, their points, for instance, I mean, again, a unit of four Sanguinary Guard, that's the base unit size, is 140 points. And you can arm them in a variety of ways past that. Like, they have war gear you can sprinkle in there as you think your environment allows. But we're talking about two units that we know are good, and we can kind of expound on how to use them later. I've been really going back and forth toiling over how to equip my scout units. I think the scouts have lots of different functions, and you cannot overlook the fact that since their ability to do a little bit of board control, do a little bit of presence to back people up, control how people deploy and what can get on you, maybe act as a screen. They have lots of different roles outside of what their actual war gear is. But then they've got all these really cool war gear options when in the context of a Blood Angel list.
Yeah, scouts are so versatile, and specifically with how you're going to set up your forces, because I'm a fan of layers, and you can do that specifically with scouts and how your Blood Angels lists are built. You're going to have your super forward units, and so you can equip those scouts slightly differently than you're going to equip some scouts that are sitting in the backfield. Maybe a heavy bolter or a missile launcher in the backfield with snipers might be a better choice. But when you got your guys up front, you know, you definitely want maybe shotguns or even if you're going to assault and capitalize on the Blood Angels, what is it? I don't know what it's called. The chapter tactic trait.
The Red Thirst.
The Red Thirst.
Wound on one veteran in the first round of combat, essentially.
Right. So, you know, if you're going to be, you know, using those guys to help assaulting your dropping in Death Companies and Reavers, if you're using them or anything like that, you know, you're definitely going to want to capitalize them with the close combat pistol kind of loadouts and things like that. So you're almost not going to be penalized if you take three different scout units with three different field loadouts, basically.
And that's kind of where I was going too, is that I've kind of, well, let's talk about the combat blade works like a chainsword. You get an extra attack if you have the combat knife on a scout.
Yep.
The bolter, that's a bolter. It's rapid fire.
Rapid fire one
gets you two shots at half range. And then the shotguns are plus one strength at what, 12 inch range?
Yeah, at half range, I think.
So at 6 inch range. Yeah, they're 12 inch range assault two. So it'd be strength 5 at 6 inches.
Strength 5 at 6 inches. But then you've got, I said, with this Red Thirst, it kind of turns regular units into assault units. And so that got me thinking I might not want the close combat scout. I might want the kind of tried and true constant bolter scout.
Well, to kind of parrot a little bit of what the other guys have been saying about scouts, it's just, it doesn't seem like there's a real losing option in my mind, except, at least in the context of Blood Angels, the Sniper Camo Cloak variety. I have played several games with the Sniper Camo Cloaks. For 90 points, I don't really feel like they earn their keep, and there's so many things that don't care about cover, and cover isn't even that great. And you can't, it doesn't matter if you have camo cloaks if you're using your scouts as a screen, because if they're out in the open, which sometimes
then
you'll
run over by some Hormagoths or something. And
yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, you wasted all those points on camo cloaks. I ran mine bare bones. I had some bolter versions and I had some combat blade versions, and they both worked very well.
To be fair, though, if you're taking a sniper rifle, you don't have to take a camo cloak. I think camo cloaks are a useless option.
I think from an aesthetic standpoint, Troop, you're 100% wrong.
Well, yeah, okay, right. Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. And you know what? Every sniper scout I have has a camo cloak. I'm not paying for it, I assure you. it's wasted points, like Chris mentioned. Where are you getting cover from? Like, it's hard to get cover now. It's especially in these larger grand tournaments and things like that, that were the GTs and major events and stuff, it's harder to get cover. So don't pay for it. But having a 36-inch sniping round is not something that is as easily to dismiss when you know that you might want to try to weed out that one character here or there, or at least just to have a 36-inch threat range. I mean, sometimes that's just good.
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing that sniper scouts were really trying to kill the most were malefic lords, which are moot at this point, and then commissars, who are now also moot at this point. Like the targets that you're trying to kill with them and the characters that are out there that you want to be sniping, like they're not going to go down to a unit of bolter scouts unless you are super good at rolling sixes.
I agree 100%. Like if your opponent has a commissar in his army right now, leave him alone because he's going to do more work for you than you ever would. And like Chris said, what? Oh no, Magnus took two mortal wounds. Bummer. I feel like in the past couple of games I've played, scout snipers, have they felt like a threat when you see somebody set them down? Like to me, somebody would put them down on the table. I'm like, okay, well I'll deal with them when I get to them. But they're not. They're going to cause some wounds here and there.
Well, with five shots, you're really just trying to fish for sixes, and with five shots, you don't get reliable sixes.
Yeah, and it's when you look at the math of it, it's not a reliable way to kill anything. Now, Astra Militarum with some very low wound, easy to kill dudes. Okay, I think sniper rifles on some scouts could take out some, astropaths, Primaris psychers, masters of Ordnance, stuff like that. They could do a good job there. But a lot of the armies,
let's think about when it's going to matter. Like if you have five scouts and you're trying to take the last wound off a demon prince, then you probably want them.
Boom.
That'd be the one time I didn't have.
What I'm saying is that when that demon prince is on his last wound, you probably are not going to have any scouts left.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so planning for that eventuality is, it's not going to come up very often. So I'm thinking about, because I obviously want to do very well and make the best possible choice. And what you're looking at is, you're looking at a series of options that are, you can make a case for almost all of them. You can make a case for shotguns at strength 5, 6-inch range because you're going to be up there close and personal with the opponent. You could get out of a vehicle, a Razorback or whatever, and maybe who knows? You could find a way to make them work.
There's a threat.
Yeah, with a combat knife and the additional attack, and you're going to be up close and personal. You might be able to even pull off some assaults on turn one if you happen to seize the initiative on people that are too close to you and stuff. I mean, there's all these things that can happen, but I really think that the bolter scouts with a sergeant with a power sword covers almost every single one of your options without a heavy point investment like you were talking about with sniper rifles and camo cloaks or whatever, considering all this like basic war gear, bolt guns or close combat weapons and bolt pistols are free, and a power sword is a bargain at 4 points.
Yeah, you remember when we used to slum it out power swords for like 15, 20 points back in the day?
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, like 4 points for a power sword is, when you have a few spare points, you know where they're going.
Well, I disagree with you, Chris. I find myself actually auto including a power sword if I can include it. I throw it in there right away, and then if I have to take it away at the end of the game, then I do, or at the end of the list build, I do. But if I can put a power sword in there, I for sure want it there every single squad.
Yeah, even if you're not planning on charging, it's a good deterrent. If you can put a power sword in a little squad that's going to be up in the front, you're not going to just throw chaff at it. You're gonna be a little more hesitant because if that power sword swings on you and takes out three of your dudes, then all of a sudden that scout squad become a much bigger deal.
With wounds carrying over now, man, that power sword is dirty.
It's important to point out that the scout sergeant does not get access to the sergeant weapons list. he has his own.
That was a mess.
He has his own things. It's like the scout sergeant may replace his bolt gun with an item from the pistols list. The scout sergeant may replace his bolt pistol with an item from the melee weapons or pistols list. So that is important because I was quite prepared to stick storm bolters in every single one of these, but you cannot do that. You can't do it.
Now, speaking of scouts, Paul, you and I were debating a little bit earlier about roles of like fast attack choices in a brigade. This kind of ties in everything we've been talking about because we've been talking about ways to get your command points and you needing to burn so many command points. And I feel like the brigade is almost necessary at this point for a Blood Angels list. I wanted to talk to you guys and kind of feel you guys out for. Are scout bikers a better choice than assault marines?
Can I just first off say how I appreciated how diplomatically you came around with that question? Like, it was like, I know that this is going to be met with laughter, but let's talk about it.
Okay, let me present the case for the line of thought I've got, right? So you've got five assault marines are 80 points on their own. If you put a special weapon on them, you know, like say a flamer, 89 points, whatever. However, you know, scout bikers, for three dudes, that's six wounds instead of five. You have three twin bolt guns, so at 12 inches, that's, what, 12 shots? You can put shotguns on them for free, so that's another 2, 4, 6 shots. You can spend 81 points on that for an extra wound with some really good mobility, and you're saving points over the assault marines. On the other hand, the assault marines are great for being able to just deep strike in and get those sort of line breaker type objectives, harry and harass, redeploying using the wings of fire stratagem. Like there's this battle going into my head, and I wanted to hear what you guys have to say about it.
The scout bikes move 16 inches.
Well, in the context of building a brigade, I say go for two of one and one of the other. And which one that you're choosing two of is going to be dependent on how your list is. If you're doing a heavy deep strike list, then naturally go with a little bit more assault marines. So you're going to go two assault marines, one scout bike. But if you're going for like a balanced kind of all-comers kind of list, I think two units of scout bikes is going to outperform two units of assault marines all day long.
Yeah, the shooting, I was on the receiving end of some shooting from scout bikers this weekend, and that's kind of what opened my eyes to. I was like, oh, wow, these guys have some really good, you know, yeah, numbers of dice coming and shooting, and they can get within range pretty easily.
It's what I've been talking about with, my buddy and I keep talking about bikers. People kind of have the old 7th edition mindset when it comes to bikes because we forget that they're carrying a gun and they have the guns on the bikes, and that adds up. And don't forget bikes. So scouts, you know, everybody thinks scouts, oh, a 4-up save. Yeah, but they're toughness 5 with 2 wounds. So they're harder to kill. The stuff you would normally just shoot at some scouts now all of a sudden is not wounding as well because they're T5, and then there's 2 wounds. So that's 6 wounds in that unit. And on top of that, they can turbo boost. So they're moving, what, 22 inches?
Well, if I could take us back just a little bit, the discussion around scout bikes and scouts it's a totally different conversation because the scout bikes don't get the benefit of the alternate deployment techniques.
Right.
That the scouts do, but that puts it more on the line of a conversation with the assault marines, the assault squad, because they get the jump pack assault to give them some more precision stuff. So I think that's probably an interesting way to come about it. But the fact that the scout bikes don't operate like scouts, they do get to move a little faster. But as far as a gun platform, if we're just talking about like the effectiveness of an assault squad versus the scout bikes, the actual scout bikes, for the ability to pump out more damage, I think, at range may give them the advantage.
Yeah, and that's what I was comparing them with because, remember, the assault squads are only toughness 4, 1 wound apiece, and not nearly as much shooting. So if I can do more damage to you before I have to weather the overwatch, you know, if I even decide to charge in with them, but I mean, I think there's definitely applications there with them, especially with any sort of mission that's going to require you to move to get on different objectives and stuff.
They have the scout bikes have the ability to always advance 6. You don't have to roll.
Yeah, the turbo boost, right?
Yes, turbo boost. Yeah. So they get that reliable constant movement of what is that, 22 inches?
22. Yeah, and they're if they have the Astartes shotguns on there, that's assault. So they're shooting those when they turbo boost. They're not going to get to shoot the bolt guns on the bikes, but at least they're shooting those shotguns. So these things can move 22 inches and still put two shotgun shots to the face, you know, on the turn they're turbo boosting. So they're going to get where you need them to go and still put out a little bit of damage.
The crack grenade is also an assault weapon.
Ooh.
From the grenade launcher.
What I like about the scout bikes, for me specifically...
And is crack grenade. Sorry, Troop, but I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, yeah. What I like about scout bikes specifically for me is their ability to scoot around the field with a low footprint. So you can hide them pretty well, keep them the lanes from your enemy fire, well hidden and stuff like that. And you can get to these, you know, units of Nurglings that are hiding on an objective or your infantry platoon or whatever that's sitting on an objective. And you can easily pump wounds out, capitalize again on the bloodthirst thing and things like that, the guns, everything that you have, and dish out enough wounds to get units off of objectives. And they can do this fast, and they can do it very precise with the... Well, with relative strength. So I think scout bikes are, you no longer can laugh at them.
Well, I think you've got to decide, you got to take a real objective look at what you're going to be hunting with these things. Like one of the reasons that assault squads, or you would consider assault squads before, because they had the extra attack and some good movement. With the Red Thirst, I mean, I really do believe it helps push some of these units, turns almost every unit into an assault type unit to where you can feel better about throwing them into combat where you don't need to necessarily kit out towards the extra attack side of things.
Yeah. I mean, a Blood Angel scout biker charging in against some normal power armored Marines is wounding on threes, and they're turning around and wounding you on fives.
And the scout bikes can also get the combat knife to give them an extra attack.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's actually, that's fun. And I'm looking at this Space Marines Codex, but in the Space Marines, up to three scout bikers may replace the bolt gun with a grenade launcher. So if you take a 3-man bike squad, all three of them can take that grenade launcher instead of the bolt guns, which means their bolt gun or the grenade launcher and shotguns, these dudes could be turbo boosting around the table the entire game, shooting all their assault weapons the whole time. So that's going to have some value in it right there as well. So that's a lot of shots that you could put where you need.
I like that idea. I mean, I think we may have like talked ourselves into thinking the scout bikes are better.
I just ordered 20 kits. Let's do this.
Hey, don't forget about that never stratagem. Changes. You can use that stratagem.
Oh, which the one? Mortal the, Wounds one?
The, yeah, the cluster mines.
If they fall back, you spend like one command point, you do D3 Mortal Wounds to the unit they were engaged with.
Oh, yeah, like on a 2+, it's D3 Mortal Wounds. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, we just broke it wide open.
All right, seriously, Ricky, order me 20 kits now.
I'm on it. It's recorded.
So, but I think if you're going with the brigade, you got to think about what you're going to be hunting and what you need what you want these units to be doing.
I mean, yeah, I don't think they're definitely not that, like that. They're not that like end all be all of this unit is always great. But I think there's definitely going to be applications where that right there could really help you out in some scenarios.
Brigades are just super tough to fill out as Space Marine players. Pure Space Marine players, like pure Blood Angel lists, like I'm trying to run. I understand that, you know, for X number of points cheaper, you could throw in a couple brigades of Imperial Guard and have the perfect screen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not what I'm trying to do.
You get a brigade of Guard for like 600 points.
Yeah. Like, whatever. Who cares, right? At that point. But for me, I'm trying to keep the army thematic and fun. And that's part of how I enjoy the armies, by playing pure Blood Angel lists whenever possible.
You say
possible.
Thematic and fun, but you just mean you're trying to keep it pure Blood Angels.
Which nothing is thematic and fun.
Yeah.
See, but Paul keeps his...
I'm not saying it's the only thematic
list.
And fun.
Yeah, a pure guard list is thematic and fun and will, you know, wreck your face. There's the problem.
I want to say I'm an OG Catechin.
Hey, nobody will ever call you a Fairweather fan, because I remember when I went to your house and we pulled out all these like antique Catechins. And
those metal ones, those heavy single pose metal ones.
Why are these so heavy? That's metal, Ricky. Oh, okay.
It's like and I'm a bunch going of my own scouts.
With the Blood Angel stuff too, I'm going the same route. Is to how do I get a ton of command points? And I'm trying. The first list I took a crack at is two battalions and a vanguard. One that lets you get the elites.
Yeah. So that's what, 10 command points to start with?
It is. Yeah. So three for being battle forged, three for each battalion, and then one for the vanguard.
I'm shabby.
Yeah, but this is where, but you find yourself, before, this is kind of what led to the scout discussion, before you're thinking about scouts as just attacks, like I'm going to take my two mandatory troop units and then move on to all the good stuff. Not that we don't have mandatory troop units. This army has six, but you know, through the discussion of everything that we're talking about, that's why I don't have sniper scouts in here, because I went with the intercessors for the primary space marines. 10 intercessors. Right. That's what you see me painting on Twitter right now, because I think they're going to perform a better role than the scout squads for very similar points. From the scouts with camo cloaks and sniper rifles for incredibly similar points.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. The only thing that stopped me from bringing intercessors this last weekend was my lack of painted or assembled intercessors. So I love their staying power on objectives.
Well, it's two wounded dudes, you know, that can 30-inch range. I mean, they have a lot going for them. But in this list, I put in another 5-man unit of scouts with sniper rifles, not the camo cloaks, and that comes in at like 75 points. And I'm thinking, man, I really think I want power swords and everything. Where can I harvest some points? And I'm like, I don't really need these scouts with snipers. I probably need them to be the 55 point bolter unit and then sprinkle more power swords around.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bolter unit is just so versatile. I mean, I think that's your best middle ground guy. So if you're confused, you're out there and you're listening to us and you're going, Jesus, guys, you guys have talked about sniper scouts and shotguns and combat blades. If you're confused, go with your bolter scouts and then branch off from there. How are your bolter scouts performing for you? Are they doing better in the shooting phase? Then, hey, you know what? You're right on track. Are you finding yourself charging more? You might want to consider some shotguns or some combat blades.
I try to think late game. With the Blood Angels, you have the ability to throw some units that your opponent has to deal with in their face. So I feel like in a list like this, I will have scouts around late in the game. And because they'll be around late in the game, I want them to be able to shoot things 24 inches away.
Magnus or Mortarian, you're going to see these guys. There's no getting around it. Yep. Mortarian does not let scouts stay on the board. Period.com. No. And so, you know, you can't get close to him. So you have to stay away from him. And on top of that, he's hunting you down like a rabid freaking animal. So it's like, what do you do in that case? You know, like, well, when we have to start thinking of that, and then what Paul, I think what you're alluding to, though, is you're using them, you're hiding, you're being cagey, you're doing your thing, and then at that last opportune moment is when you're going to jump on them, and that's where you're going to try to find value out of your scouts.
Well, I think that they have a multifunction here. I can use them to help to control a perimeter, to keep things outside of my deployment zone, or like in a mission where you place an Emperor's Will objective, you don't want somebody to be able to start the game on it, and then you're playing on your back foot or whatever. You know, you can play a little bit of perimeter control with the scouts, but I'm thinking that once I throw 300 points, 350 points of Death Company, the Sanguiner and Lamartis in someone's face, and the new face smasher with the captain with the Thunderhammer and Storm Shield, you know, so I'm gonna burn, and then I'm gonna burn all the 7, 8, 9, 10 command points to make all this stuff do something on turn one. You're going to have to deal. You're going to want to deal with it, even if you don't think. Even if maybe tactically you don't have to, you're going to want to deal with it because they just made you really angry with everything that they did. That my scouts are really going to play long term, and I need to think long term with them. That's why I want the bolters.
That's pro tip right there too. Make your opponent make emotional decisions, not strategic.
You know what would really make him make an emotional decision? 30 scout squads with knives starting the game 9 inches away from his deployment zone, charging turn one, all of them go.
I tell you did math.
Always be charging.
ABC.
Ricky says that at the store too.
Taking that Vanguard unit, or taking that Vanguard detachment. Right now it's Lamartis, a fat unit of Death Company, some Sanguinary Guard, and then Aggressors. And I've been getting grief for taking these Aggressors.
You send them my way.
And why? Why? Them the truth. Why?
I believe the truth is like a walking, talking aggressor.
All right. Let me. This is like a little bit of just real talk, if I can use that phrase here for a moment.
We are really talking. I feel that you can. We'll go for it. We're going to allow it.
All right. If I were to describe to you a unit that had two power fists, two attacks apiece, two wounds apiece, could fire, what, 18 shots a piece or something?
If they're standing still, they will do, with the bolters and the frag storms, is 36 plus 6d6 strength 4 AP minus 0 1 damage shots.
And that's for all of them firing together.
That's for a squad of three.
Well, firing it's because the auto bolt storm gauntlets are assault 6 and they fire twice if you're standing still. And the frag storm grenade launcher is assault d6. If I didn't call them Primaris aggressor squads and I just described you the stats and told you that all that was 100 and sub 120 points, I think you would immediately jump on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you should, no matter if you call them aggressors or not.
Well, yeah, you call them whatever you want. They're still amazing.
Yeah, they're baller.
Like, and don't forget, it's not just the Bolt Storm and the Flame Storm gauntlet shoot twice. The Frag Storm shoots twice as well. So each one of them is putting out 12 plus 2d6 shots.
Models in this unit can fire twice if they remain stationary during their turn, including when firing Overwatch. That also can't be undersold.
Yeah. Hello.
Relentless advance. Models in this unit do not suffer any penalty to their hit rolls for advancing and firing assault weapons, which guess everything what? We just described is an assault weapon.
Everything on them.
You know, what are those robots from the whatever that robot faction is? The Necrons?
The Admech and the Castellans? Is that what
the Castellan robots. Yo, these are like mini Castellans.
They look amazing, too. They are a pain in the butt to put together, but hey, they're coming out with easy to build versions of these.
Yeah.
So that's a win.
I know. I'm upset because I bought like so many already.
I just put a box of Flamestorm together, and then they announced the easy to build. I was like, you gotta be kidding me! I was so mad.
I went with the Boltstorm gauntlets, and then and in addition to everything they said, they have Power Fist, which are -3 AP, D3 wounds. You do subtract 1 when you're hitting, but you're hitting on 4s. You know, this is after, let's say you stood still and then they charged in and you overwatched them with a bazillion shots. I mean, again, if I just described the stats of this and the fact that it's not a lot of points, and they did, to be fair, they got a points adjustment in chapter approved.
Yeah, they went down significantly in points.
Yeah, the aggressors and the inceptors were huge winners in chapter approved. And the biggest problem with aggressors, really the only problem in my eyes with aggressors, is how do you get them there? And that's
they're slow.
That's a problem. They're slow. They're in Mark 10 Gravis armor, so they take up 2 slots in a repulsor. So just you can't even put around, a full man. Squad.
See, and this is how the kind of nuances in the Marine lists are going to change. Like with the and we'll talk about Dark Angels here in a minute, but with the Blood Angels, you do have the ability to really distract your opponent with some other flashy looking models that you have the ability to get in their face.
Yeah, and that's I was working on a list as well, and I was trying to figure out, okay, well, I'm going to walk these guys because I can advance at no penalty. So I'm moving them across the table. I'll try to use Azrael to go on the invul and keep them alive, you know, when they get there. So what do I do in the meantime? Well, inceptors are cheap now too. So let's drop a squad of inceptors in their face. So you're either going to shoot at my aggressors that are going to get you next turn, or you're going to shoot at my inceptors that just took out your biggest unit. I think they can, they're going to get there. Are all 6 of them going to get there or not? But I feel like walking these across the table isn't, if you build as many threats into your list as possible, walking these across the table isn't as risky as it could be.
Hey, I tell you what, in a Blood Angels list, I'm taking more of these than I am Sanguinary Guard.
Oh, you think so?
I think they would do more. I think if they get there, they're going to do way more than Sanguinary Guard. They're going to hit harder,
if
just as
they
hard.
They get there.
Yeah.
Well, they don't even have to get there. They just got to get within, 20 inches?
If you get within 18 inches with
blast them away.
With the Bolt Storm, you're not even going to make assault most of the time because you're putting so many shots into them. And heaven forbid you play these as Ultramarines. If Ultramarines aggressors get within 18 inches, absolutely done. If you're playing Ultramarines and don't have at least 3 aggressors, you're wrong. Go buy some right now and put them next to Gilliman and watch.
Well, I don't know. And this is just me, and I'm Blood Angel focused right now. But I feel like that you're not creating too much target confusion if you have them involved in another gun line. But I could be wrong.
Your point is not missed, and definitely how you're building your list. Me knowing you and how you design lists, aggressors won't fit in your list design as much as they would mine or Ricky's.
You're talking about for an Ultramarine or whatever list?
Oh, for a Blood Angel list, okay. Specifically. When you build your Blood Angel lists or any of your what I like to call your flavor lists, they're very brutal. They punch you in the face. There's not a lot more to it than that. There's a dynamic of how they're punching you in the face, and there's complexities within it. But that's what the list does.
I don't mind being one-dimensional in that way. I don't mind that.
So for you, an aggressor isn't the key choice. But for players like Ricky and myself and a ton of other people out there that have a little bit more of a maybe a 60-40 split mindset of, I want to punch you in the face, that's why I'm playing Blood Angels, but I need to have shooting and I need to have threat layers and I need to have this and that. This is where aggressors really fit in for really cheap.
If you are trying to get that Vanguard detachment, you could build one on the cheap. And the reason I went with that is because I wanted to have my command points and that one extra command point. That's what's going to let my captain fall to the Black Rage. You know, so I needed it. But it gets you Lamartis in that detachment with Death Company, and then you could have. Past that, you could have a lot of aggressors for not a lot of points.
Yeah, and Troop, we've talked about this multiple times. Troop is a huge fan, and I'm definitely seeing his logic in it, of aggressor squads in your backfield holding objectives. I mean, what kind of goober is going to drop in and deal with the kind of Overwatch that an aggressor squad is going to put out? You know, you drop a 5-man assault squad in, and you're going to weather, 6d6.
25 billion shots.
Or all that, yeah, plus or minus one or two. And in the Overwatch, and then deal with power fists on top of that.
I it's such an oxymoron. When I first read Aggressors, and I'm like, ah, cool name, you know, and I'm thinking StarCraft, you know, those dudes that walk up the field and just do. And I was like, wait a minute, these dudes are three? Oh, they're totally sitting on backfields. And so when you drop all your little assault squads and your little 5-man death company with nothing else to it, man, I don't even care. Come at me, bro.
If you drop a 5-man death company in and I have two command points with AuSpec scan and an aggressor squad.
That's just a bad idea, guys. Don't do that.
Bye, Felicia. Okay? You're done. I mean, you're only hitting on fours, but okay.
But there's a lot of, we're using Death Company because we're trying to talk Blood Angels, but there's a lot of units that people use that they throw in the backfield to disrupt and to do things. Now, they're not exactly the best combat squads, but they're just there to mess up your stuff.
They're there to get on an objective. Power. They're there to cost your opponent a turn. That's why,
exactly. I
mean, the things you're talking about you're controlling the momentum of the game, and that's very important.
So using an aggressor squad that's dirt cheap, you're sitting on your objective. You have a 2-wound, tough 5 dude with great shooting, great counter-assault abilities. There's no reason that you have to play aggressively with them. And I found, in my mind, more success with them, using them in my non-aggressive way. They're my passive aggressors.
Non-aggressive?
They're my passive aggressors.
Okay.
That's perfect. I'm going to write that in my codex right beside it.
GW, when you release the next version, you're welcome.
That's the variant. That's the.
They should be the deterrer squad, because I mean, that's what they are.
The Boltstorm Gauntlet.
I think the Boltstorm Gauntlet is. Boltstorm Gauntlets, in my opinion, are the way to go.
Bang for buck, yeah.
And they're cheaper than the Flamestorm. But let's focus on the most important part, guys. I know we already said it, but the most important part of the aggressor squad is they look amazing. All right, that's what we need to focus on. Great, I mean, good rules, great kit. The models are sick.
Well, now to branch away from Blood Angels, and let's talk on Ricky's side. You can play aggressive with Ricky because you got this cool guy named Azrael.
Have you guys heard of Azrael? I don't know if y'all have
heard
of him.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and chat about some Dark Angels. But I want
the momentum. I got you. I see how it is. You don't want to talk about Azrael. Okay.
We're going to talk about Azrael.
Still mad about that one command point.
But if I had
raising his sword up so high so you can see him surrounded by all the people. Otherwise,
I'll tell you does what?
Look at me, I'm over here.
Azrael's a team player, Paul. He's a team player.
Don't overlook the scout bikes. I think that was a great discussion on what their ability to do. They're not scouts like we were talking about with the other section of it, but they are a mobile fire base.
For sure.
They can put out, I think, more damage over the course of the game than the Assault Squad, which you might think is the better choice. But I think, Chris, you brought up a great point that the Scout Bikes may be the winner there.
Yep, I'm excited to test them out. I have a squad of Scout Bikes that I'm going to switch for one of my Assault Marine units, kind of per what Troop was talking about, and see how it goes.
And let's not forget the power swords are very cheap and can do a ton of damage in the game now. I think we're seeing those be like a bargain buy for points. And then the bolters on Humble Scouts, the basic pattern bolters, I believe, in an assault-heavy list where you're going to be placing threats out there and are probably going to be your more overall around utility use. But hold tight, guys. We'll be right back.
Cheers. Holding.
Frontline Gaming is excited to announce that tickets are now on sale for the LVO 2018. Taking place January 26th through the 28th at Bally's Casino in Las Vegas, the event will feature gaming, seminars, and social events. Don't wait. Get your tickets at lasvegasopen.net today.
Hey, everybody. We are back. Talk about our Angels of Death Army List episode. We have a Dark Angel player / expert, Ricky Addington.
Expert's a strong word.
I don't know. We don't allow
strong language on this show.
The list you were talking about, and your point, like, we were sharing an army list earlier, and you're like, can this kill Magnus or Mortarion on turn one? You know, but you're loading up on plasma, and that's, isn't it cool? Like, when the army's thing is also happens to be very powerful in the game.
It's the best, man. It's like, cause you always feel like you walk to the table and you put that, like, just, that super optimized, if we're being diplomatic, list down, and you're like, you set it down and they look at you and you're like, sorry, you know,
it's in the fluff.
But you don't have to do it with Dark Angels, because you're like, it's Dark Angels. Plasma is our thing, right? So I don't have to apologize for bringing as much plasma as I possibly can, because I'm staying true to the lore. So I like that. Granted, in 6th and 7th, I stayed well away from plasma, unless it was on a Black Knight. So yeah, I'm excited that, like, I can load up some plasma now, and it's always exciting. My shooting phase is always exciting for both players.
Well, your question was a good one, because you're going to see these Primarchs. You're going to see Magnus and Mortarion. We say it a lot, but you're going to see them on your path to victory in a three-round tournament. You're more than likely going to encounter something with their profile of stats.
Sometimes together.
Yeah, could be, but
those are things of nightmares.
You have to account for them. You have to have a list that can deal with them in some way, mitigate them in some way. And if you don't, then you need to reevaluate your list choices.
Yeah, and I mean, the obvious, now that Dark Angels are going to have access to Killshot, I'm telling you, I keep calling Space Marines Codex Killshot, because I've seen that thing do so much work. But I was trying to stay away from it and stay with a more Primaris theme. So the list I'm working on obviously has Azrael in it, because Azrael, come on.
I like to live half the time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got a 10-man Hellblaster squad in there, because Grim Resolve, I don't have to be scared of failing those morale checks. So that's 10-man Hellblaster squad. And then my biggie to try to deal with some of these big boogeyman units off the bat is a 6-man Inceptor squad with Plasma Exterminators, and then have a Jump Pack Company Master drop in with them. And then,
well, what's the Company Master give them?
The big thing is just rerolling the ones.
And that's to hit.
That's to hit, yeah. So I can't really right now figure out a good way to get a lieutenant over there to help them reroll any wound rolls or anything. But the biggie is to avoid them blowing themselves up.
Right. So, well, what's the range on the Hellblasters?
The Hellblasters are 30 inches for the Plasma Incinerators, the rapid fire 30-inch range. So at 15 inches, they're pumping out 20 shots. And at 30 inches, 10 shots. And then Weapons of the Dark Age on there can make those things pump out a lot of damage. So you're talking 60 potential of 60 damage in one turn if everything goes your way.
And are you saying that you're having trouble getting the lieutenant over there with him because you don't have the points in the list?
No. The movement. The big issue with a Primaris army is their mobility. So the Hellblasters, they got some good range, but you really want to get them in that rapid fire range to maximize like the points investment.
Well, that's, you know, regular lieutenants give the same benefit also.
And get jump packs in most cases.
Yeah, but then the Hellblasters aren't getting there.
No, but I'm saying you could either have a regular lieutenant back there with the Hellblasters, yes, but you could also have a jump pack lieutenant there
for the other dudes.
You're saying up with the Inceptors. If I can get a jump pack lieutenant in the Dark Angels Codex, we're going to work something out there, because that would have me dropping in the Inceptors with the Plasma Exterminators, and that's 12 D3 shots, strength 8. Obviously plasma shots, and then weapons of the Dark Age on that, potentially insane amounts of damage coming out of the Inceptors on turn one. So that hopefully, and that's kind of like an alpha strike there to just to put so much pressure on them up front that they're going to not be able to deal with the Hellblasters until they get up in range, and hopefully by turn two the Hellblasters are able to shoot anything on the table.
In that situation, I think you almost want to go second. Because you want them to throw their big thing out. Because I don't know many people that play KG with it, and you can't afford to play KG with a giant model that you're relying on doing damage. They have to throw them out there, and that's when you can come. They jump past their own screens.
Yeah, and that's so there where I'm working from a list standpoint is, do I put a repulsor in there to try to protect the Hellblasters until they're in range? Or do I just try to get some screening units out there and rely on Azrael's 4-up invul to save that, to protect the Hellblasters until that turn two? So yeah, I think ideally though, if I can keep the Hellblasters alive, then I let them move forward and then go second and shoot, you know, hopefully rapid fire.
Like, what else is in your list? Because I mean, I know that you, again, a lot of plasma, and I think that's completely justified. But what else?
Yeah, it's just all plasma. Is in your sample list
now?
So right here, what I'm working with,
a Primaris based Dark Angels list. So I'm just framing the context for what you're about to say.
Right now, what I'm working with from a Primaris standpoint, and forgive the fact that these first two aren't Primaris, but Azrael, a company master with jump pack, a Primaris lieutenant. Three intercessor squads with bolt rifles, a six-man aggressor squad with bolt storm gauntlets, a six-man inceptor squad, a Ravenwing dark shroud in there because I'm not giving up a dark shroud, 10-man hellblasters, and right now it's the repulsor keeps coming in and out of the list, but right now I've got a repulsor in there as well to help either move up the hellblasters to rapid fire range or to protect them for that turn two. So that's what I'm working with, and the core of this is what I've been playing for a while now, and it's just stripping out some of the units that haven't really been doing work and trying to put in other stuff, and mainly just trying to make a Dark Angels list more aggressive, because with the index, it seemed like the best bet was to just crowd everybody around Azrael and, you know, use that 4-up invul with all the rerolls and everything, and that would win you some games. But with that going away, vehicles don't get the protection. So now, and I also found that I wasn't really getting over on the other side of the table. So with the Inceptor squads, the aggressors being able to advance and still shoot, the repulsor will be able to push the Hellblasters up. The list will have a little more aggressiveness out of it. So hopefully I'll be able to...
So you're not playing you're playing a mobile, like, fire base. It's not really a gun line. You're being able to move around and, like, create some, like, pincer moves and stuff, I think, from on your opponent.
Yeah, because I really just don't like sitting there rolling dice, which is as cool as guard is. I feel like most of the time it's like I don't even move half the models because there's no reason to. So I've kind of gotten away from that that army and just tried to focus more on Dark Angels. And I really just like the idea of moving, just moving across the battlefield and picking up objectives and holding them and trying to push the opponent back. And so
a sweeping tide, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so I've got enough intercessors in there to sit on backfield objectives with still enough reach for their weapons to be useful during the game. And then everything else is about as aggressive as you can get out of Primaris Marines. So that's kind of the goal and the plan, and hopefully it works. But right now I'm very excited about this list because my experience with the rest of the stuff, I mean, honestly, dude, a 10-man Hellblaster squad with Azrael and a lieutenant standing there does half your heavy lifting alone. I was almost tempted to take out the repulsor and just put in another 10-man Hellblaster squad.
I say take out the repulsor, work in a jump pack lieutenant to go with the Inceptors.
Yeah, if we're getting it, then yeah.
Yeah.
You do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. He's in. Done. Sold.
I'd even put another body or two in the Inceptors.
Oh, well, they're at six already, so I can't go in.
Oh, okay. I thought you were having three mans. My bad.
No. Oh, goodness, no.
I'm just not sold on the repulsor. I just don't. I think it's got a lot of guns. And with the it's being able to split fire, and I say split fire just is the common vernacular, right? But able to shoot at different things with your army, and we should mention that the things like with the Hellblasters and with the Inceptors and everything else, you're not at risk of overkilling a 5-man unit.
Exactly. If I get close enough, I can split that up, and I'm not. You know, remember the old days where you're like, oh, I'm about to do this. I'm about to waste 30 shots to kill two dudes. Isn't that going to happen?
Well, you knew if you roll up to a table and somebody put down their Devastator squad that was like built by the box. It was one heavy bolter, one last cannon, one missile launcher, one plasma cannon.
I aspired to that when I was like 10 years old.
Yeah, well, it looked so cool, you know. It was the best, you know, and good on you for doing that.
But you
and
knew
now that's you, not a bad idea.
You were going to win that game.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's not a crazy choice, and being able to fire this last gun goes over here and these nine last guns go over there.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes units like the Repulsor possible, you know.
But it also plays into the Dark Angels tactic, is you can have these fat units to where you're protecting your kill points. Like in missions where kill points are a thing, you're protecting that because you have giant units.
That saved me at Warzone. That was before Grim Resolve, but the ability to – at Warzone, I had a 10-man Reaver squad, a 10-man Hellblaster squad. So, of course, those stayed together on kill point missions, you know. And then when it's not kill points, break them apart if you want to. But now with Grim Resolve – big whoop, you know, you're the most you're losing is one anyway, so you're not even really worried about
the reason
that.
It matters, and the reason I'm pointing out, because you know, you have, I mean, it's hard to kill 5-6 Primaris Marines because they have two wounds apiece, but this works for your regular old TAC Marines and stuff too. So if you have a 10-man unit attack squad, somebody kills seven of them, well, that's gonna put the rest of those in a real difficult position, but now you're gonna be losing one like the old conscript days.
Yeah. My big issue, though, with the list as it stands now is the repulsor. For the points, does it put out enough
damage?
You
need things that buff up your big, fat plasma shooting squads. And again, and to circle back to the point, you're not going to be overkilling things because that lieutenant's going to be giving out his buff, and you could be shooting at three different things. You just killed all my units of scouts with your one Hellblaster unit.
Yeah, it's all right, man. Cool, move on. I don't have a problem with that. I understand that. I'm good with that. I think the biggest question mark in my army now is the Dark Shroud. 150 points. The buff that it brings to the army is invaluable. -1 to hit for any unit within 6 inches of it. That's amazing. However, with the change to Azrael, that thing is just 150 point bullseye. So it literally is the first thing to pop every time we've played since they've started leaking Azrael's abilities and stuff. So I don't really know what to do with it. I've got, you know, I don't want to take it out because it is good and it forces people to shoot at it. But at the same time, could those points go somewhere else? So that's a big question mark. The repulsor, I think, other than it looking cool and just being a neat model, I feel like is not worth the points when we can put those points somewhere else.
I think you can get a better punch. I mean, even if you tried to upgrade, you know, you get one of the other special characters like Samael. Samael and a land speeder is not a bad choice. That used to be the dopiest choice you could possibly make, but now he can still scoot around and chop people down with his sword.
And he can hide. That's the biggie. He can be protected. I'm really liking the idea of hiding lieutenants and Samael behind some bikers. And basically you've got Razorbacks, you know, that with, or even better than assault, you know, because you've got twin assault cannons, twin heavy bolters that can't be targeted because they're characters. and they're moving behind
these screens. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Get rid of that repulsor. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you need to be taking – you don't need to be driving a couple of Primaris Marines somewhere when you've got the ability to take these, you know, pretty potent hidden characters on hidden vehicle characters.
Yeah. How much is that going to run? How much is the lieutenant going to be, though, a Ravenwing lieutenant in the speeder?
In the speed, you mean like the Tally Master or whatever?
Is that what they're calling them, the lieutenants? The reroll hit, the wound rolls of one?
I believe that is the Tally Master. Let me get to that. The Ravenwing Tally Master, he's the guy on this movie, 16 inches, 6 wounds, toughness 6, has the tactical precision. You can reroll wound rolls of one for the friendly Dark Angel units within 6 inches of this model. So it's all Dark Angel units.
Oh, great.
The Ravenwing Tally Master starts at a base 123 points.
That's not too bad.
Factor in the 2 assault cannons and the 2
Well, the twin assault cannon is what, 44 points?
44, I think, yeah. So 160, and then...
The twin heavy bolter.
I can't remember what a heavy bolter cost.
A twin heavy bolter is 17 points.
Oh, it's a twin heavy bolter.
Sorry, heavy bolter is 10 points. My apologies.
Okay.
But the twin heavy bolter, which is what it is 17 points.
Gotcha, yeah. Oh. So... 120, 166, 170, almost 180 points.
He's a bit of an investment, but he can hide.
Well,
he's
pumping here's
out
the thing.
Good shots.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it,
what is it? 12.
Yeah, and I mean, you're paying 74 points for a normal lieutenant who does nothing for you virtually. So
he's a lot tougher, a lot faster, a lot killier.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, he's you know, you've got a power sword and a bolt pistol.
Well, that point expenditure, I think, fits in with your the mobile kind of pincer actions that we were talking about before.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And golly, you could take multiples of those and have a good time. Yeah.
I don't know. Multiple would add up quick points-wise.
Yeah, it would. But, I mean, here's
the thing. So you just love buying the toys. That's it. You're not even concerned. You just
No. Let's talk about the Astraea super heavy tank while we're at it, if we're talking about the toys. I'm a sucker for all of those.
Tanks.
But what I'm saying is, you know, we used to put Razorbacks in armies for – to get that firepower. You put a twin assault cannon Razorback down there. Well, you're getting better than that for, granted, almost twice the points, but you're gaining a ton of mobility out of it and the fact that it can't be targeted. Multiples of those behind some Ravenwing bikers could put out, you know, a lot of damage and be a real pain in the butt.
The reroll ones to wound is pretty good. I mean, not that anyone doesn't think that that's not good, but it really does play.
Yeah, it adds up like real quick, especially, you know, when you're supercharging plasma and wounding a lot of stuff on twos. When you're rerolling ones, then it's
a no-brainer. You have to.
Yeah.
So as we start to evolve and see and think about more of the Dark Angel stuff, I kind of like what your base is, though. I like your ability to, again, when the theme plays into what's powerful in the edition right now. That's not automatic good. I think that it is. It's a much more or much less in your face codex than the Blood Angels or openly apparent strategies and power.
It's a fifth edition Grey Knights.
It's kind of a secret. You know, Blood Angels are not secret about wanting to punch you in the face all the time.
But yeah, I like the synergies in the Dark Angel stuff. I think better than I like it in the Blood Angel stuff. I think you've got to play towards the Grim Resolve for it to really work out. But a lot of the other stuff is it kind of gels up pretty well.
Yeah. Well, Grim Resolve works great with aggressors hiding in your backfield on an objective. That's when Grim Resolve is going to just be fan diddly tastic. The rest of the codex, though, is like that's how we'll know if in like us fanboys' opinion that the codex is a real winner is if you can mix Deathwing, Ravenwing, and normal green armor into a list and it play to the Dark Angels, because that's the cool thing is when the bikes scouted out, the Deathwing teleports in while the troops move up, shooting the rest of the stuff off the table. It's super thematic, and if we can pull it off in this edition with the codex,
plausible. I mean, it does seem plausible where you can at least make that type of army and not feel like you're compromising too much in your army list choices.
Yeah, I mean, it's really which fun toy do you really want to focus on now? And it seems like it's that way with your Blood Angels too. Is, you know, your biggest argument was, do I take Sanguinary Guard or Death Company? And it's going to kind of boil down to one of those discussions with Dark Angels too, is do we want to go heavier in Deathwing or Ravenwing, or you know, just more aggressors? Probably going to take more aggressors though.
I love hearing that word said over and over again. I want to point it out that like I'm the OG aggressor.
Yes, we were sitting at Nova Open, and I remember somebody kept telling me, who was that just kept telling me, Ricky, aggressors, backfield, aggressors.
I don't know. It was some large, very attractive man, though.
Some dude, deep baritone voice.
Yeah, he was extremely attractive.
Well, if you liked him before, you're going to like him even better now in the chapter approved, where they're cheaper.
They are the truth and the way right now.
Guys, we're going to wrap up, but we will be back next week. I know we did not get to finishing moves this week, but we'll have two finishing moves next week, and I mean it this time.
So maybe we'll have a starting moves and then a finishing moves.
That's a good way to do it.
We have good ideas, people.
We almost made it through an episode without one of those.
I almost caused an edit moment.
Well, I know that they were a little bit, I guess, early in our Dark Angel list design. Ricky's still getting his head around it, and of course, he's the closest to it. We'll have some more Dark Angel list ideas next week, and I want to hear what people are putting together as they start to see more and more of the Codex. And then, you know, let people know what they think about our Blood Angel talk. Let us know. Anyway, I hope you guys have a good rest of y'all's night, and I'll see you next week.
Good night.
Thanks for listening.